Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. As you know, this is Black History Month. But every month to me is Black History. Every time I walk out the door, we're making some kind of history. We cannot allow them to continue to marginalize us. We have to make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do to stand up and fight back. We're fighting a war. We're at war. But the problem is we're not fighting. They got us surrounded. See, they know how to fight together. They know how to get a few Sambos to work with them. They know that. They know how to get a few Sambos to work with them to help destroy you and your family and the community. See, that's what you attack. You don't have to attack the individual. You attack the community. That's how you do. You attack the city. That's how you do it. You don't need to attack the individual. You attack the individual later. See, that's the last thing you want to do, attack the individual. But what they do, you attack the city and the community, and you'll create this mess that we have today. Our children running around here shooting people just because they looked at you. He looked at me. That's why I shot him. What kind of crap is that? He stepped on my toe. That's why I shot him. Who are we? Bumped my shoulder accidentally, and I shot him. We're not that stupid, but they're driving us. We won't shoot them white folks like that, but we'll shoot the black folks. We'll kill you in a minute, because they're scared of white folks. Black people are scared of the revolution. They're scared of the black folks are scared of the revolution. But it's here. It's here. Whether we like it or not. You know, the other day, Whoopi Goldberg made a statement. I agree with her. She's 100% correct. Being a Jew, that's a religion, Jewish. You see, that's not a race of people. You know, where did they get that? But I don't care how much money you got. Them white folks will make you bow down. They sure will. They'll make you kiss the floor. They'll make you eat dirt. They will. You talking about a Holocaust? Let me tell you about the Black Holocaust. From 1619 to 1861, more than 15 million Africans were sold into slavery. That's right. Let me say that again. The Black Holocaust, from 1619 to 1861, more than 51 million Africans were sold in slavery. Over 35 million was killed, murdered by the slave traders. They're not slave traders. They're murderers, making it the greatest Holocaust the world have ever known. And they won't even let you talk about it. These white folks is not going to let you talk about that. They're not going to let you talk about the Holocaust, the Black Holocaust, you know. But any time you sit around and beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. And there's never, ever going to be a change in your community without a conflict. We're at war, but the problem is we're not fighting the war. We're not. You know, let me tell you some of the things that black folks have done. They created the air conditioning unit. Frederick Jones, 1949. The Alamat, Benjamin Becknicker, 1791. The automatic cutoff switch, Granville T. Woods, 1839. The fishing, all the fishing devices, George Cook, 1899. Baby buggies, William Richardson, 1889. Even the biscuit cutter, Alexander P. Ashmore, 1875. Blood plasma, the bag, Charles Drew, 1945. The clothes dryer, George T. Sanford, 1971. The curtain rod, Samuel R., 1892. And the curtain rod support. It's so much that we have done, and yet we don't get credit for it. Nobody talks about that. Nobody. Nobody wants to talk about that. You see, there are no rules here. We're just trying to accomplish something. That's all we're trying to do. And, you know, people call a person. Let me give you a little history of Uncle Tom. See, this is important because we got this thing all messed up. See, Sambo, you don't want to be called. If you call somebody a Sambo, that's different from an Uncle Tom. See, Uncle Tom was a man who refused to beat black women. He wouldn't beat them. Uncle Tom was a man who refused to tell on other slaves. Uncle Tom was a man who would put cotton in other slaves' bags so they wouldn't get beat at night. Uncle Tom was a man who helped over 100 slaves get free before the Underground Railroad. Uncle Tom was a man that once established the first labor school for other fugitive slaves. Jonah Henson, he was Uncle Tom. So be careful when you use the word Uncle Tom, you know, because what you're doing, you're building a person up to be more than what he actually is. When you say Uncle Tom is someone that we cherish. A Sambo is something we don't channel. But we in this. But here's my take on things this year. We got to make sure that we're doing the things that need to be done. You know, there's a lot of stuff out here that we need to do. And we need to make sure that we don't have that oppressor mentality. And that's when your ego becomes more important than the cause. Your ego should never be more important than the cause. You see, no matter what happens. There's nothing more important than dealing with each other on an honest, safe way. But I want to talk a little bit about Brian Flores. He's the guy who's suing the National Football League. People is walking around here surprised the National Football League is racist. Not only is the National Football League racist, but the NBA and Major League Baseball. The NBA is doing a better job than both those put together. But baseball, there's a great story about Curt Flood. Curt Flood, all these players right now should be taking up money and giving it to Curt Flood children. Curt Flood was a center fielder for the Cincinnati Reds and the St. Louis Cardinals. But the St. Louis Cardinals wanted to trade him, and he didn't want to be traded. So he took them to court. He lost on the lower court. He lost on the next level, and he lost at the Supreme Court. But it changes things. See, Curt Flood's legacy continued to benefit players more than ever. Even his name has been lost to history because of Curt Flood. Today, athletes have several control over whether they play in parts and also to get the big check. Because in 1969, Curt Flood refused and continued to be treated like a higher help. Few current players today know the name of Curt Flood. Even fewer know the sacrifice Curt Flood made. And they drove this man. They took everything he had. They drove him to drinking, and that's what white folks do. See, they execute their plan, and they utilize their plan, and they get other people to buy in to whatever they want to do. And they don't care. I don't care how bad it is. They get other white folks to buy in. Listen to this. A couple of years before Curt Flood died, this guy George Wilt wrote, Curt Flood lost the 1970 season and lost in the Supreme Court. But he lit a fire. He lit a fire 6 years later to benefit him. His cause prevailed. He prevailed. Black folks, you can win. You just have to get out here and fight. He won back in 1969. You see, because of Kurt Flood, more important, so is the nation, because it has learned one more lesson that about the foolishness of fear and freedom. Baseball angry man, Kurt Flood. Baseball forgotten man, Kurt Flood. The first man to fight for free agency, Kurt Flood. So you guys out there who don't know nothing about Kurt Flood, yeah, they drove him. They destroyed him. They actually destroyed him. But what he did changed everything. LeBron James, the money he made, you would never made that money without Kurt Flood. Michael Jordan, they would never made that money without Kurt Flood. Nobody want to talk about Kurt Flood. Today, what Brian Flores is doing is great. Kaepernick, what he did. See, these guys, see, you have the money. You can fund money to these people through a 501c3. You know, I think everybody right now who playing basketball of color, of white too, white folks too, because he helped Larry Bird and all these other people too. Without what he did, none of them would have got the big money. But I want to make sure that people understand how important this thing is. You can do it. If you don't fight, you don't win. Oh, they coming. These white devils coming. Oh, there's not a doubt in my mind that these white devils are coming. They coming. And I'm telling you they coming. They coming. Because that's what they do. And they work as a team against you. And they will strip you. See, Whoopi Goldberg, she's Jewish. A lot of you may not know that. But Whoopi Goldberg is a Jew. Anybody can become a Jew. Anybody. I don't know whether y'all, you know, how far that, you know, it go, but all you have to do is go to a Jewish place and confess to being a Jew. It's so simple. Wow, what a world we live in. Man, they will bring you to your knees. And I'm tearing them up because they understand the power that we have. You know, they would have been got me because right now they know the power. We have 22 organizations in the state of Michigan that's supporting us. 22 organizations that's supporting us in the state of Michigan. 2,500 organizations across the country. And they already know. They know that we got the juice. When you talk about juice, we got juice. Them devils would have been to try to plant some drugs on me or claim that I did something that wasn't if I didn't have the juice. These devils will do, they'll do anything. There's nothing shameful to them. You know, problems that we have in the world, most of them is because of white folks. That's right. Take a look at it. Take a look at it. Take a look at the problem that we have in this world. And you will find out that most of the problems that we have is because of white folks. Who are the ones who are making these decisions in this world? Who are the ones that won't change their decision making? White folks. Everything that goes on is white folks. They control the jobs. They control the bank. They control everything of use. And yet still, we sit around and want to be just like these evil, wicked people. Nothing but devils. Nothing but devils. Nothing but devils. But unfortunately, I've ran out of time, and I got my Hebrew brothers on, and I want to make sure that they get a chance to tune in, especially on that Whoopi Goldberg issue. I know that my Hebrew brother got something to say, but his wisdom and his knowledge is just beyond recognition. I can't even talk about this guy. That's how good he is. That's how wonderful he is. And that's really just the way it is. My good friend from sunny California, Malak, are you there? Talk to me.
I'm here, man. How you doing? Shalom, Pastor Pinckney, and everybody that's listening. How you guys doing out there?
Oh, we know us. We just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen. And I tell you, nobody will believe what is happening in the city of Benton Harbor, and these devils is getting away with it, and they do anything. They give them a war, and they take a victory lap and everything else. They can sneeze, and next thing you know, they're giving them a war for being the best sneezer they is in the world. They always coming up with something. Anyhow, yeah, that's how it operates. They want to build them up so to be something so bad. They want them to, everything. The Martin Luther King Award went to another white person here in this area. How you gonna give a person that nobody knows? They just make up names and say they're gonna give him as long as he's white. The criteria is to be white. They even gave this guy Fred Upton, one of the most racist individuals, and the heir to Whirlpool, the Martin Luther King Award one year. Man, I say, what a world we live in. But nobody says anything about us, right? So that's why they think it's all right. Unbelievable.
You know what?
I'm tired of talking. I want you to go.
But you know what? A big reason why that does happen is because, they don't know that they got the power to say something against it, right? So this is where me and you come in. We got to keep building our people up to let them know that they have the power to speak against certain things, and then show them the avenues to get certain things off the table that we want off the table, right? But it's time for the real leaders to step up, right? Like this topic that you're talking about today is beautiful, man. Like you went in, you were saying that 1619 was when the first slave ship came, right? And that first slave ship that we finna go in history was called Slave Ship Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that they actually called the slave ship Jesus, right? And we know that,
right.
I know a lot of people think that Christ's name really is Jesus, but that's a translated name. He actually had a Hebrew name, and his Hebrew name would be Yeshua or Yeshaya. Some people say Yeshua. But if you want to say Savior in Hebrew, his name would be Yeshaya, right? And so they put this slave ship up called Jesus, right? Now, look at this scripture right here. Let's go to Genesis 15:13. You with me, Jerome? You on with me, y'all?
Yeah, I'm on. Let me grab that.
Hey, Jerome. Get your
Shalom, Pastor Pinckney. Yes,
sir. Going down, my brother.
Yeah, you was on fire, Pastor Pinckney.
We gotta tell the truth.
That's right. That's right. Gotta tell the truth. And so I'm happy to hear you really giving it your all like that, man. People need to know the truth.
Amen. Amen.
So, okay, so we going to Genesis, right?
15:13.
There you go.
Okay, Genesis. Chapter 15. And verse 13. Okay. So Genesis 15:13 says, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. and they shall afflict them 400 years.
All right. So remember, the slave ship came here to, 1619. It's 2022, so it's like 402 years since the first slave ship came here, right? Now, he said within that 400-year period, we was going to start waking up dramatically, right? And he was going to start getting us ready for our redemption. Now, watch this. What's the next verse say?
Next verse says, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance.
All right, so the nation that we serve, this is what you've been talking about, how we work for white people. White people own everything. They make all the decisions. They control the banks. They control everything that we do. We under their umbrella. So this same nation, that umbrella that we all under, that we don't want to be under, the Most High is going to judge them. Right, so it's already starting to happen. The ball is starting to move towards that. Now, when we talk about when Pastor Pinckney was bringing out all of these great leaders that we had, bringing out all these inventions, we even bigger than all of that, right? Because now we got to think about who we were before we came here. We wasn't just in Africa walking around with no clothes on, swinging from trees. We had a great, beautiful civilization. And we was called the Hebrews. We was in South Africa in a place called Niger, and we had everything. We was the doctors, the lawyers, the architects. That's why they wanted us, because we knew everything. We know how to. They had us working in the fields because nobody knew how to work in the fields better than us. We was connected to the Most High, right? So we go out there and work in the fields. We know exactly how it's supposed to be done. We know that we got to let the land rest every 7 years, and then it's going to double what it grew when we go back in there and start growing again, right? So they already knew that we had all these techniques, and they wanted all these techniques for themselves, right? So if we understand that the Bible is a history book, right, this is our history book, right? And I know every time y'all say Paul, Peter, John, everybody look at them as being white people, but they wasn't, right? So matter of fact,
right.
Elder, go to Acts chapter 13, verse 1.
Acts 13 and 1?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Acts chapter 13 and 1 says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger.
They was called what?
Niger.
Okay, the word Niger, when you look it up in the Greek, you know what it means, Pastor Pinckney?
Dark skin or black.
Man, how you know that? I thought he was going to say, what it mean? What it mean, brother? Tell me. He already knew.
Let me take that back. What do it mean?
You did that. It means black, right? Dark skin,
right.
Like you said. Another word for a Christian, right? So when they call people Christians, the Christians were black people. This was the word that they used to describe us, right? And then
right.
The real word is Niger. This is what the real name is. It ain't Niger. It's Niger, right? So Niger is the same name that they use to this day to come against us, right? Y'all, you a nigger, right? So, but nothing has changed. It ain't nothing new up under the sun. So basically they calling us black. They call us a Christian, a follower of Christ, right? So they did the same thing to our prophets in the Bible. They was calling them these names, right? So this is to identify the actual color pool. You can't say Paul was white. You can't say Peter was white. These was black people. that was in Jerusalem, Christ himself was a black man, not no Arabic man with the dot on his forehead, Indian man or whatever. He was a real, true, so-called Negro that we call ourselves today. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, now let's get on to Whoopi Goldberg. I don't want to miss that. Okay, Whoopi Goldberg just got on national TV and said that the Holocaust was about two white people going against two white people. So this, she was looking at it as it's a humanity thing. Like, you know, it's
right.
Like evil against good, right? Which it is.
Uh-huh.
The,
right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so what is so bad about her saying there was some good people going against some evil people, and they both was white people having their own dispute? That's basically what she was saying. And it's the truth. These people ain't the real Jews. Now, Pastor Pinckney was right when he said anybody can be a Jewish. Anybody can be Jewish. All you got to do is go over there and ask them and say, they're going to say, okay, we make you Jewish today, right? But
and
everybody
give,
can't
give you
be
a
Jew,
give
though.
You, give you one of them little beanie hats. They give you one of them beanie hats, and you walk around with a beanie hat.
Yeah, Jewish is a religion, right?
Right.
But to be a real Jew, you have to be from the bloodline, right?
Yeah.
So Whoopi know who she is. Like, a lot of these celebrities, they know everything that I'm telling y'all right now. A lot of celebrities know who they are. And every time they speak out, the Jewish people that run, they run the whole TV, the radio, and everything. They come against them so hard that they got to start apologizing and kissing butt, like Nick Cannon had to do. Nick Cannon got on national TV, said he was a Hebrew Israelite, right? Now, remember, his baby mama was in our class, right? So he probably learned about being a Hebrew Israelite from us, right? So now he finds out he a Hebrew Israelite. He says it on national TV, and they trying to take everything from him. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, they going to do it. These devils, this is what they do unless he start kissing both sides of his of their butts.
He got to kiss butts, lick toes, and the bottom of the feet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this is the society. So what they doing right now is they trying to suppress us saying that we Hebrew Israelites because they know that we waking up all over the place. And if y'all don't know, like on the news, right, any black person that do something crazy, they're going to say he was a Hebrew Israelite, right? We be like, what? So this is the agenda to try to make the people who know who they are. They want to demonize us. They want to demonize us to make us look evil, right? When we really righteous, right? Because they already know that the gig is up. They can't keep on hiding who we are. It's too much information out here now. I can see back in the 60s, the 50s, and the 70s, early 70s and stuff, it was harder to figure out all this stuff because we didn't have all of the information at our fingertips. When they came out with the internet, boy, we can go. We can look at anything right now. We can go all the way back to the original Paleo Hebrew script and read it for what it really says. We can go all the way to the where the Hebrew was written in pictures. It's called pictograph, right? We can go all the way back to that and read exactly what the Bible really said. We can do the real history on where the Ashkenazi Jews, which is really Russian Jews, I mean Russian Jewish people trying to be us, you know what I'm saying? So all of this stuff, man, you can't hide it no more. You can't hide it no more, man. You can't hide this stuff no more. But I really think this is a beautiful conversation, man. You made a great, beautiful topic for all of our people that's listening to really, really get an understanding of all of the inventors. These inventors was Hebrew Israelites. These people was people of God. Everybody ain't considered an Israelite. Everybody ain't considered a chosen people of God. I know that they didn't brainwash us to make us think that anybody can be a chosen person, but if he chose everybody, how are you chosen, right?
Right.
Like if he want all the oranges, If he want all the oranges, what separates you from the other oranges? He got to pick
you, go.
You as the one orange. You see what I'm saying? So he picking mm-hmm. us as these people. We the people that have been suppressed. We the people that's been under oppression. We the people that they've been trying to hold down for so long, but we keep on rising.
There you go.
We keep on rising to the top. They are not going to be. We are God's people, period. And we are.
Yeah.
There is nothing that they can do to wipe us off the face of this earth. It is impossible. I don't care what they do, how, what kind of plan they come up with. It's always going to backfire because they would never remove us off of this planet.
There you go. And I strongly agree with that. You know, and the thing is, we don't even understand how much power we have. When you talking about 50 million people, you know, you're talking about a whole country, and yet you're still, you intimidated by these people. You can't even say nothing. You can't say a mumbling word. You know, I go on the radio show every Monday at 1 o'clock here, and I tell people about these Sambos, and I say whatever I want to say. You don't tell me what to say, you know, and don't ever tell me what to say, because I'm going to say whatever I want to say, and then when I go home and go to bed, I'm going to be able to sleep good because I know I'm telling the truth. And that's how we have to deal with these demons. Yeah, these demons, they messed up our children. They're doing everything in their power to destroy us. And just like you said, it's not going to work. Absolutely.
And they making diseases right now that's just designed to attack people with melanin in their skin. But you know what's happening? It's backfiring.
Yeah.
It's backfiring on them, and they dying faster than us. Come on, man.
See,
that's the Most High. There's nothing that you can do. They putting poison in our water. They making us eat poison, but the Bible say that we will eat poison and live, because there's nothing
there
you
can
do. It's nothing
Amen.
You can do to stop God's people. We going to keep on moving, and we gonna, and then shortly, real soon, the Most High going to judge y'all for everything that y'all done against God's people. The people that you hate the most, the Bible says the people that was called not the people, right? We shall be called the people of the living God. We the people that of the least of all people, they don't want us to be God's people.
No.
They'll
no.
pick anybody before they pick us, right?
Look,
he said,
they
don't
pick a dog. They'll pick a dog before they pick a black man or a black woman. They'll pick a dog and be the chosen one. They said, that dog is the chosen, not that black person. You know? And look, but here's the bad part. Look, everybody hates us. I mean, it's like not all the white folks hate us, but most, like, Chinese, you got the Indians, you got the Arabs. You got black folks hating black folks. We know we got it all, you know. But my thing is this. We just don't get it, you know. Until we get it and move ourselves out. See, we got to move self out the way. And once we move self out the way and then start the foundation for our children and our children's children, that's how we beat them. We can't beat them no other way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So hey, you know how it goes. But right on with the right on. But look, brother, I gotta let you go. I got a full house today. I got so many people who want to tune in. I guess we done hit a nerve somewhere. But it's a long line, and it's I never seen a line like this before. It's like, oh man, it's almost ridiculous, man. But I really appreciate you, brother. I'm gonna have you come on my show on Ben Harbor. Not tomorrow, maybe next Monday at 1 o'clock, so we can talk some more like this. I like this.
All right, yeah. All right. Man, you have a blessed day, man, and let's bring these people in, man. Y'all have a blessed one. Shalom, everybody. Y'all stay safe, stay prayed up, and know that the Most High is with you. All praise to the Most High. Shalom.
All right, my brother. Take care of yourself. Give the baby a big hug from me and tell your wife, I say, hey, all right now.
So,
my man. All right, Jerome. There you go. My man. And let me bring in my friend from Detroit. I know she got a lot to say, so let's see what she got to say. Then I got to bring in my good friend Belinda Parker Brown, and I'm going to try to get my good friend James in. I'm going to try to do it all today. So let's talk.
Okay. Hey, Reverend Pinkney. You on fire.
Hey, Murphy, how you doing?
This evening, hanging in there. Listen, you know, when I had posted about the Black Holocaust, I made some white folks angry and some black folks. I just don't understand that. You know what I mean? I didn't understand about the Whoopi Goldberg. What's her name? Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg.
That situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and 2 weeks suspension, all that. I got enough on my plate and all that. I got what she was saying, and I'm going to move on from that. But it is what it is. You know, I don't like to get into religion and all that, but I get tired of hearing the Jewish community talking about anti-Semitic. But whatever happened to black folks, can we say anti-black? Because across the world, with white supremacy in the United States and other countries against people of color, do we cry anti-black? No, but we should. You know what I'm saying? We should, because we attack it every which way. And right now, I want to just talk about the situation with COVID, early part of the COVID, 2019, 2020, when the devil Trump has said it didn't exist. You know, he claimed it didn't exist and all this other stuff. But you know who the casualties were? Black folks, Native American folks, people of color lost their lives from COVID-19. White folks did not care about that. Donald Trump didn't care about it. He lied and said that COVID was going to go away. But guess what? It's still here in 2022. Now, the stats for the coronavirus cases now is over 78 million. 78 million, what Trump said was going to go away or didn't exist, and telling folks not to wear a mask, whatever, and he's vaccinated and wearing a mask, all sorts of stuff. So it still hasn't stopped, and it's not going to go anywhere. And now we've got 1 million deaths. The figures would say differently, someone slightly over 900,000, but I say 1 million deaths because they miscalculate that. Say the Michigan you got the numbers being manipulated, you know, over 2 million COVID cases in the state itself, and 32,000 supposedly had died from COVID, and I'm pretty sure it was more numbers than that. They manipulate the numbers. And then in the world, 395 million cases. So we had deaths over 5 million. So I round off to 400 million. So we had deaths over 5 million across the country, across the world, and then 233 countries and territories in the world have been exposed to COVID. So we do know it exists. So all these lies, Donald Trump, he's still behind the scenes and destroying this country, and still his lies are going on, and we're still fighting for survival. We're fighting the judicial system, and I want to touch about the Michigan State prisons. We know for a fact that COVID-19 had hit very hard in the prison community in the state of Michigan. We know that because they don't care about them, but the staff folks, they also had gotten COVID. They spread it to the inmates, you know, and some people had gotten very sick. And unfortunately, you know, the director of Correction, she didn't say anything. What's her name? What's her name? Heidi Washington? She's still there.
Yeah, Heidi. Heidi Washington. Uh-huh.
Right. So she's still there, even though we we did a protest in front of her house and all that some years ago, but she's still there, unfortunately. But it's still there, the climate where inside the prison where the inmates are very sick for various illnesses, exposed to the pandemic. They weren't provided a mask initially, or only, and then finally got a mask that came in. But it was only just one mask. We know those disposable masks don't last 1 day, and plus they have no access to cleaning the mask or whatever. So we still have the stat where the people the inmates were exposed to COVID-19. It's unfortunate, but it's really bad when it comes down to the prisoners that have they waiting on trial or whatever or forced to take pleas. So we deal with a lot of injustice going on in the prison. It might not affect folks who never been in prison, but think about it. You know, in the state of Michigan, we've got over 60,000 people that's in the various entities of prison, you know, federal prison, mm-hmm. detention, jails, federal, you know, federal, state, federal prisons, whatever. So a majority of the people are black folks that's locked up. So people should definitely, to their representatives, you know, see if they're going to do anything. You know, Heidi Washington's not going to do anything and have better care for the inmates while they're there. But so moving, yeah, and so we got 64,000 Michigan residents locked up, 40,000 state prisoners in the local jail, 17,000, and federal is 5,000, and the youth is over 1,000. So it's way too many of us folks getting locked up. And I just want to touch, you know, with the situation with this was not in our state, but it's about black folks. We being targeted, so we won't be able to vote, you know, in the upcoming elections. But this woman named Pamela, her name is Pamela Moses. She's from Tennessee, and she was over the Black Lives Matter in Tennessee. Well, she had a couple felonies on her. I won't go into details what it was, but she basically that they gave her 6 years because they said she registered to vote. So I said, wait a minute. So that's our given right to vote, but because they said she had these two felonies on her record and she registered, not she didn't vote, but she was registered to vote, and she's got 6 years. I don't know where these lawyers are, these famous lawyers, they need to come in her defense. So we're dealing with the injustices with the sentencing. You know, Reverend Pinney, when you've been in prison a couple times, and you know what they've done and false, you know, basically talking about when it has to do with voter fraud or whatever, you know what I mean? So, and I thought about that, and you know, this is what's going on across the country where we're being targeted. Even the right to vote, you know, they want
absolutely
to lock you up, and they will lock you up. So every which way, that we can't talk, we can't go. We if we say anything about the Jewish community, we won't get locked up. But the point is, they best they'll do a character assassination for you and just basically just wipe you off the face of earth. You know what I mean? When I say, you know, keep your mouth shut. They don't want you to speak out. So a lot of people are afraid to speak out. So we're dealing
especially
with
black
all
folks.
The time.
Black folks so scared to open their mouth. They don't want to do nothing unless something happened directly to them. Then they want to fight. And that's why, and they know this about us. You know, when they did a feasibility report on this community, and they found out how intimidated black folks feel to white folks. But that's why black people kill black people. They don't kill white folks. They kill black people.
They don't kill white folks. And then guess what? Right now, and over there in St. Louis, Missouri, some so-called lawyers. You remember that time last year with this white couple? They claimed they're a lawyer. Who cares about that? And some black protesters, you know, protesting against the George Floyd murder. And they were marching in the areas, and they had AK-47 in their hand in front of their house.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, okay, they became heroes, and Trump invited them to the White House, to the parties, and all this other kind of stuff, you know, like that Rittenhouse got all that. Well, then there's a bill by a Republican, a Senate bill called 666. We know what the three sixes mean. And so this couple, this white couple, the one that became a hero to white folks, white supremacist folks, when they had showed their weapons and you know, threatened to kill black folks, they became heroes, and now they're saying they support this Senate bill called 666. That's Make Murder Legal Act. Really?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We already
yeah.
know white folks can kill us and get away with it. We know that. But when we do, I stand our ground, they want to lock us under the ground. We can't, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, like you said, you can't do nothing to the white folk, but they can do all they want to us, shoot us down. When the gentleman, the young fella that was sitting in the comfort of his home, sitting down, and the police did a no-knock policy, and they busted in there within 9 seconds, this boy was dead.
Yeah, you said it. You said it.
What was his name? Armar Locke. He's a young,
yeah, and
young
he
black
know his
male.
Family. Absolutely. And one of the things his family said, he was a law-abiding citizen. Didn't have, if he would have had any kind of felonies or anything like that, they would flash it all over the TV. That's how they do. And that's how they get the white opinion so they can support stuff like that. But listen, I got to move on. Listen, appreciate all that information. Let's stay focused
okay.
and do what we need to do. And we will talk to you soon. You have a great, great
okay.
day. And take care of yourself. All right,
okay,
then.
Thank you. You do take. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me bring in Belinda Parker Brown. Who would believe what is happening today? These folks got it going
wow.
on. They got, yeah. Belinda Parker Brown, talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pinckney, you are having a hot show today. I really don't want to be all over the place. I have Dr. Zena Crenshaw logo on here with us.
Hi, Pastor Pinckney.
Hey, Dr. Zena. How you doing?
Good to talk to you.
All right. So it's going down. I know y'all got some hot information for us. So we're gonna have to do something. Let's make it happen.
Well, you know, you started the show off talking about how, ruthless these people are when it comes to, our invention, you know, our creativity and our ability to create wealth. And I wanted you to look up Dr. Joseph Jackson that invented the remote control and how they stole his invention away from him. And that's going to lead me right into the reason why we call you today to talk about Pastor Victor, none other than Reverend Earl Victor, that
mm-hmm.
was a multimillionaire that had a plan to build a community, a dilapidated community, and create a corridor that can bring billions of dollars to a poverty-stricken area and bring that place up where people can live in million-dollar homes, Pastor Pinckney. And not only that, they can also operate their own businesses. You know, he was a developer. He was a multi-billion-dollar developer. And he had partnered up with 18 of the New Orleans Saints players, millionaires, and all of them had basically crowdfunded the money. They didn't have a need to go to the white people for any financing or anything. But nevertheless, the point is that Reverend Victor was accused of murdering his son, that was proven that his son was rushed to the hospital due to a illness of asthma. And you know what I'm talking about. They call it asphyxiation. It was proven through a forensic pathologist that this child died from an asthma attack. But they arrested him before they even had a determination of death. And right there at the hospital and charged him with first-degree murder. So this has been going on for almost 12 years now, and Pastor Victor have been literally fighting for his life against organized abuse in the criminal corrupt justice system. And the system have just beat up on him and weaponized him. You know, the judge, the district attorney, you know, he spent millions of dollars on lawyers, public defenders, clerk of court, all of them in cahoots with the fix, Pastor Pinckney, that they were going to make sure that this man spend the rest of his life in Angola. So with that said, I want Dr. Zena to come in and talk a little bit about why it's so important that people understand that we, you know, we have to unite in solidarity on America United International. Dr. Z, are you there?
Yes, because, and again, hello, Pastor Pinckney. It's good to speak with you and your audience, and it's been a just a fantastic broadcast as usual. America United International is, you know, a timeout is challenging the fact that, just like Ms. Belinda indicates, that there is no effective redress, no matter how blatant the legal system corruption may be. We just run from one court, from one agency to another, and there's no, there's very few victories. Reverend Victor has a complex criminal court history, and I know you know the details, Reverend Pinckney. But one thing I want to point out to the audience is that his conviction, he was ultimately convicted for the death of his son, not first-degree murder. I can't, Ms. Belinda, you can confirm the nature of the charge that he was convicted on, but he was convicted for killing his son who had an asthmatic attack. But they still, that conviction was overturned in 2021 by the U.S. Supreme Court, and they still haven't let him out. And so we have to unite because there's every they're getting ready to try him again in just a matter of months. And there's every incentive to get the new case resolved in such a way that all of the other improprieties, all the other corruptions, the questionable conduct is covered up, you know, is obscured. It's nothing but an incentive to make sure that it's hidden, that he should have never been in that predicament. And our only, you know, leverage is to put the pressure on it and make clear to the powers that be there in Louisiana that whatever they do to railroad him at this point is just going to emphasize and legitimize our allegations that the whole situation has been corrupt. It's been a railroad, it's been a miscarriage of justice. But we're a grassroots organization. There's a lot of details, a lot of facts. It's a complicated case. It has a long history spread over 12 years. And they hype as much as possible from us, give us as little time as possible. So we need all hands on deck to be able to keep it at the forefront, the very blatant evidence that you can even imagine just based on what Ms. Belinda has already told everyone about this story, the fact that they didn't even have a determination of death, and it had charged Reverend Pinckney and his wife with first-degree murder.
Mm. Mm. Absolutely. But listen, here's Brian Stevens, he's from down there, and I had the opportunity of meeting him, and this is some of the stuff that, you know, that a person like him might see fit to take.
Exactly.
I didn't think about him. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, but what has to happen is you have to pull together all of the details. It would be probably international outcry. All types of advocates would perhaps join in, but up until now it's been Louisiana United International Incorporated and Ms. Belinda who have been the forefront of at the forefront of Speak It Out for Reverend Victor. So we need the manpower in order to be able to get to mount this campaign. We've got powerful leverage. You know, we've already gotten the Biden administration to represent that they're going to, you know, get the State Department to give us a direct reply. We're getting ready to issue an updated report because we're going to keep putting pressure on him and keep insisting that it's a crime against humanity. Even though he's recently elected, he knows about these type of atrocities, and we can't wait. Reverend Victor can't wait. They're putting the pressure on. They're going to re-sentence him, convict him again. When he, well, by all indications, it's totally unfounded. He should never have even turned a tragedy into a family tragedy into a bigger tragedy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it turned it into a living nightmare.
Oh, absolutely, for him and his wife. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that how they deal with us and how we don't come together and support stuff like this. It's crucial, you know, that we take a powerful stand. I'm going to try to come down there for the trial, but in the meantime, y'all get stuff together and let's see what we can do to help. And people out here that are listening to this radio show right now, they need help. Let them know how can they help y'all, because I'm sick of these folks. They listen to the show every week, and that's all they want to do. You got to get out here and fight. You got to get out here and stand up for something. We got to stop all this crazy laziness that we have, because your day is coming sooner or later. These demons, they will do anything, you know, and they know how to work together against us. So tell them how they can help you, and listen, people, help them. Stop crying and stop sitting back doing nothing. Help them. Go ahead,
right.
Dr. Zena.
Thank you, Pastor Pinckney. Pastor Pinckney, you know, for yourself, you came down here and you got a chance to go and stand on the grounds of Reverend Victor's property where they towed down this man's million-dollar home, $850,000 home, and made it a concrete slab. You stood on that property, and you saw all of this for yourself. You came down with Betty and Betty Davis and Ralph Porner and a few others, and you saw for yourself. You even went into this dilapidated, you know, back up in the old plantation courtroom where they lynched Reverend Victor, and his wife. So, Pastor Pinckney, you saw with your own eyes. And the thing about that is that we have all the proof, you know, we have verified all the facts, you know, we know, I sat through this whole case for 2 weeks with, and we saw all the corruption and everything that went on in Reverend Victor's case. It's all been documented very well. And if you listen to Dr. Zena, you know, she was the one that have, you know, did the timeline and verified all the case law and everything, the things that went wrong in Pastor Victor's case that never should have happened. So right now we know for a fact that this man is being held hostage. You know, he's been kidnapped by this corrupt system, and we're saying that we're going to need $60,000 to prepare ourselves. We're already prepared. But we're going to need $60,000 to lawyer up and go in that courtroom to put the pressure on these people to let him go and his wife. So we got to raise the money. We got a short window to do it. We're not running around. We don't have time to beg people, Pastor Pinckney. That's why I wanted to come on the show today and tell the people that it's time for them to step up. You know, we don't have a lot of time. You know, when you want to be involved with something like this, Pastor Pinckney, it's all about action now. So I appreciate you having us on the show, and I know that this is a real good power move for us to be on your show, because I know the people that come to your show and listen to your show, I know how people stepped up to help you. I was a part of that movement for you. And I know they can do the same thing
for Reverend Victor and his family. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, it, now, I know this audience is listening at this time. Where can they send the money to if they wanted to send some money?
Dr. Z, you can go ahead.
Okay, so the, our campaign is we're going to set up a separate fund for Reverend Victor's legal defense fund. But as of now, we want you to go to, and this is all one word, lowercase, www.AmericaUnitedInternational.net, just like you usually spell those, AmericaUnitedInternational.net, and go to the donate page. You'll be directed to PayPal and make whatever contribution. Nothing is too small, and just indicate it for Reverend Victor. And the funds will get directed and eventually to his legal defense fund that's set up exclusively for those purposes. But for now, because America United International is working closely with the people who have been earmarked to provide Reverend Victor's legal defense, we want you to use this donate button at AmericaUnitedInternational.net.
And any little bit helps, Pastor Pickney. You already know. If we can get 600 people right now, Pastor Pickney, to give $100, or 600 people to give $1, it don't matter. Every little bit is going to help right now. But we can raise that money, you know, within the matter of days. You know, they do it for these police officers. You know, in Trayvon's Martin case, they raised over $2 million in less than 24 hours for George Zimmerman that, you know, shot and murdered Trayvon Martin. You know, so, you know, but this is for a pastor and his family right now. This man have suffered long enough. And like you say, it's the white people that's making the decision, because they're not going to raise their hand and say they got it wrong with this man. They're not to admit it. So we got to fight them. We got to fight them, and it's going to take money for us to do that. And that's sad. But we're going to win, and we're going to beat them, and they're going to have to pay for everything that they done did to this man and his family.
And, yes, and this is bigger than Reverend Victor, as you know, Pastor.
Absolutely.
This is bigger than any one individual.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen,
you know,
those of you who are out there, and, you know, every week I want you to come on. I'll get you on earlier so people can hear, and at least they can start donating something. They can send $1, $2, whatever they got, they can send it. And, you know, my black brothers and sisters, they some funny folks, you know, when it comes to sending money. But we're going to keep pushing until we get something. But listen, we have just ran out of time. But next week, make sure if you be on, I'm going to give you the time so y'all can talk some more about it. So you can act, I'll let you on early. And that way y'all can talk to the people when we do have, when everybody is available. So listen, on that note, I'm going to tell everybody next week, same time, same station.